I hope we will you will join me in giving a very warm welcome to Carolyn Ho.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be speaking in front of such a wonderful group. And thank you very much to the multiple sponsors, and there are a number too many for me to mention. So my deepest gratitude to all of you for your work, especially to the Justice for Yi group who had really worked with the World Can't Wait to spearhead this, and for all the other organizations. My indebted gratitude, my deepest gratitude to the women of the Global Women's Strike, Margaret Prescott, Phoebe Jones, Pat back there, Gloria, and Eric Jertson of Payday. Eric has been one of the most loyal mainstays of this whole operation. And also to Gloria Passes for making the offer to come up to support me. It is true that we need to support the statement of conscience that our children are making. And we live in troubled times right now that call for extreme measures. And so given that, we as mothers need to come forward, come out of the kitchen, and to also make that statement that is necessary to make changes in society. I'd like to share with you my journey because it runs alongside what occurred with my son in some respects. My son decided to sign up for the military unbeknownst to me in 2003. I realized that he was moved by what had occurred during 9/11 and was quite disturbed by what had been going on. But I didn't realize that after graduation, in June of 2006, he would be joining the military. He came to me and made that announcement and said that, you know, he was going to go. And I immediately got into a huge fight with him over that. And we went on. And then finally, my son said to me, "And now do you realize why I didn't tell you before I signed on?" And then, of course, I realized it was a done deal and there was no point in going on. And I needed time to begin to accept that and to tell him that I loved him and that I was behind him all the way. And, you know, wherever he was in the world, my heart would be with him. So off he went to basic training and then to officer training school, then decided to do his first deployment to Korea for a year. As a young officer, he, of course, had to go through the hard work of training and actually ended up with wonderful evaluations, which I never knew about until the John Kiffner article came out. And I guess that was back in July of 2006, where Mr. Kiffner alluded to this young lieutenant and his glowing evaluation. And the evaluation said in as few words as possible as I can express, that this was a young lieutenant who had shown remarkable leadership, and it said, and I quote, "promote before the rest." Pretty modest. He doesn't go on, tell me all these things. So after the closing of his tenure in Korea, he was given the choice of either staying in Korea or returning to the United States to train for the war in Iraq. And he decided to train to go to Iraq, so he was shipped to Fort Lewis. In June of 2005, he began the work of an officer, which is basically to start the research on the war that you're about to enter, to try to understand the history of the country you're going to, the impact of the war on the civilian population, and also the impact of the war on your soldiers. And as he did the research, he was stunned by the fact that there were no WMDs, and that much of the evidence that the American public and the Congress was given, which became the basis for why we went to war, was based on deception. And he said he was stunned when he read things like the Downing Street memo and other kinds of documents that a lot of the policy or the facts that were derived from CIA documents and other sources were actually shaped around a policy that had been made before 9/11. That was pretty shocking to him, because as an officer, he was sworn to obey the orders of his commander-in-chief. And he began to have serious doubts about whether or not he could follow through. And he mentioned some of those doubts off and on, but I never really took it very far. And then in January 1 of 2006, my son calls home and makes the announcement, and he says, "Mom, I want you to know that when the deployment orders come, I am not going to deploy." I was stunned, unprepared for that, just not knowing what to say. And finally I said, "Have you thought about this really carefully? Why do you need to do this? What point are you trying to make? You're just one little lieutenant in this big, big military industrial complex. What possibly can you do by this action?" And I said to him, "You're going to ruin your career. You're going to ruin your reputation. You will be vilified in the press, in the public, by people in the community, and you have everything to lose." And I was just so saddened by this whole thing, very, very depressed by it. It took me quite a few days to come to terms with this. And then I realized, and I don't know if some of you are aware of the Gibran poem about, it's the book, The Prophet, and the prophet speaks about our children. And he says, "Your children are not your children, but they belong, they come through you, but they don't belong to you, but they are life's expression of what is meant to be." And so he decided, June 7, 2006, the day before his 28th birthday, he went public and announced his decision not to deploy when the unit left for Iraq. On June 22nd at 2:30 a.m., the unit did deploy. His name was called, and of course he did not answer. He remained in the office, and he had assured his commander that he would do that out of respect for the men and their families. He had assured them that he was not going to get a contingent of demonstrators out there waving flags and creating a big commotion, that he would refrain. After most of the men had deployed, my son was taken into a small room with several officers, and they worked on him for a number of hours to try to convince him that as a model officer, he could do the best for his men by actually going over to Iraq. And they told him, "You have till 10:30 a.m. to get on the next plane. And if you do, we will forgive everything that has happened. No punishment will be happening to you." And of course, my son, they didn't know my son. He's a very soft-spoken guy. But when he sets his mind to something, if he's convinced that he will do something, you cannot convince him. I, as his mother, know that, let me tell you. And so these people thought this Asian American, you know, being very, very understated, would probably be very easily talked into going. And so they were pretty surprised that he stood his ground. Then in July 5th, which is about a week after they allowed him to leave Fort Lewis. He had been detained for about a week, was not allowed to call out, but he was not imprisoned. He was just held in officers' quarters. He was released, and then on July 5th, formally charged. And the first charge was the failure to obey a movement order. The second charge was contemptuous remarks against President Bush. And the third charge was behavior and becoming an officer and a gentleman. So together, at that time, it was a maximum of 8 years in a military prison. Then fast forward to August 17th, the date of his pretrial, and in the military they call it an Article 32. That is the time when the investigating officer determines whether or not there are grounds for a court-martial. My son was allowed witnesses, and I think most of you know about Colonel Ann Wright, this lady who was really with it. She had been a lifetime colonel, very respected in the military, had served in a distinguished capacity in Afghanistan after we established a diplomatic corps there. But upon hearing that the president was going to go to war, she resigned in protest. So she came to speak about my son's case. And the military spoke specifically to whether or not the colonel thought that my son's action would contribute to disorder and a lack of discipline in the military. And she responded, and I wasn't there physically, but I was told that she responded, "Oh, that's a lot of nonsense. People have been making protest all along, and the military still continues fine. And so what the lieutenant is doing is not going to contribute to the demise of the military." We also had Dennis Halliday, who was formerly the deputy assistant to Kofi Annan, who spoke to what had gone on in Iraq prior to the beginning of the war. At that time, he was not working for Kofi Annan, but he certainly brought his expert testimony. And lastly, we had Dr. Francis Boyle, who was an international law expert with the University of Illinois in Champaign. And he has represented a number of resistors. And as far back as Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn, who was a military doctor who refused to give anthrax shots, which we know has proven deadly for a lot of our soldiers. But she was court-martialed and given 3 years. So we had these three illustrious people come to testify, but in spite of that, and in spite of the investigating officer saying that the lieutenant was very sincere, he said, there are grounds for a court-martial, and therefore he recommended it to Commander Dubik, the commander of Fort Lewis. Subsequent to that, my son was invited to the Vets for Peace Convention, held in the middle of August. And I'm going to show you the speech that he gave, because I feel that it represents his position and the justification for his position and what he is calling for you, the American people, to do. But before that, I just want to give you a very quick summary of what is happening right now with his case. Just recently, after the elections, the military chose to say formally that they will go ahead with what the investigating officer recommended. There will be a court-martial. A pretrial hearing is scheduled for January 4-5, 2007. And I understand World Can't Wait will be doing this big rally on January 4, so please don't forget him. And February 5th is the date of the court-martial itself. So all that said, I need to tell you that the military decided to drop the second charge, the contempt charge against the president. And so now we're down from 8 years to 6 years. And I don't believe my son has committed any crime and that he should be serving any years. But the military